Welcome to another message from Life Point Church, located at 400 South Abilene in Valley Center, Kansas. For more information on Life Point Church, go to our website at lpcag.org. It is our prayer to invest in generations to influence community. And now with today's message, here's Pastor Steve Raines.
This morning, so excited to come to you with the message this morning, and as we've been walking through this series, Church Hurt, and grateful for the conversations that I know that I've had with individuals as we've walked through this series, and then we paused last week as Kevin Weaver was with us and just talked about the ministry that he's involved in, and he was just so grateful for your hospitality and for your involvement and the various conversations, the number of conversations that he had with individuals that are either veterans or folks that know somebody that is a veteran or has suffered through some of the trauma that Kevin talked about last week. So he was so grateful for your involvement and your heart for that ministry, and continue to pray. I talked to him a couple times this past week via texting back and forth, and just excited for the things that they're doing. Be definitely praying for him. Tuesday night, we had our monthly elders meeting and got together, and we were just working through our agenda, we opened up and did just a time of devotion and development. We're reading a book together, and so we were talking about some of the chapters in that book, just applying it to our personal lives, but also to the ministry here at the church, and then we dove into the business, dove into the agenda and did the minutes, and then we dove into the financial report and walking through that and just having conversation about the finances of the church and things that God is doing. Then we dove a little bit further into the agenda and then circled back around, and one of the guys was like, hey, you need to circle back on Sunday and we just need to celebrate some things as a church. And I was like, well, celebration's good. I think we can celebrate. Yeah, right? And we were just talking about many of the things the Lord was doing just currently, but throughout the year. And so I just wanted to bring you a report and celebrate the generosity and the faithfulness of Life Point Church. And it ties right into the message this morning, because I want to talk to you about why I believe in the church. And this report really epitomizes some of the reasons why I believe in the church, and we're going to go way beyond that, but I'm not sharing this to say, hey, we're so good and like look at us, and I'm not sharing this to say, hey, you can take a break in your generosity. We're sharing this to say, see what is happening, and let's keep our foot on the gas, because there's a race to run and there's people to reach and there's a cause to proclaim in the world. Amen. And so just in the last couple months, I don't know if as you walk up, you know, if you come in the double doors up the east side of the church, I don't know if you're one of those that like looks up in the sky or anything like that as you're approaching the church, but you may not even know, but up on the roof, we were able to replace two new HVAC systems last month and just like write a check and not make a big deal because of your faithfulness and generosity. Missions. In October, Speed of Light, BGMC, which is the kids' end of missions giving and monthly support, over $7,800 was given to missions in 1 month. That's awesome. Because there was times where it's not been that way. 6 years ago, it wasn't that way. Numerous outreaches throughout the year, the Convoy of Hope distribution in July that we hosted up at the high school, and conversations that has brought since then. I think about the food distributions throughout the year. I think about Kids Fest and Trunk or Treat that we were involved in. Some of those things, you know, with like the Convoy of Hope and some food distributions, opportunities to pray for people as they're coming through, and conversations that are planting seed in those times. You know, when we did Kids Fest and Trunk or Treat, I mean, that's kind of just, it's just all about being present. in our community and doing that and some other things, just the down in the north end, being able to install this year the nursery and toddler security monitoring system. So like if you're a kid, a parent, and you go down because you placed your kid in the nursery or the toddler, and you're like, man, I wanna see how they're doing, but I don't want them to see me. How many have ever had that thought as a parent, right? Because you know if they see you, it's over. They have you, right? And so we put those things up there, and there's security going on that's recording activity in those rooms. And December last year, we were able to put the West doors, a new West panic doors on the building, and then increase monthly mission support and took on new missionaries so far this year. And as you know, we've been on this campaign, not even a campaign because we haven't made a big deal, but this year thus far, we've been able to pay down over $50,000 on our mortgage. Amen? With the hopes that as 2021 comes to a close, that we'll only owe $100,000 on our facility. With the anticipation that in 2022, that it's very real possibility that, man, we could just step up to the plate, point, and pay it off. Wouldn't that be awesome, you know, and just like get behind it and stuff. And we put in new lightings this past year because of your faithfulness and generosity. And most importantly, though it's not enough, we've seen 10 salvations this year. We've seen 4 individuals get water baptized. In October, the month of October was our highest monthly attendance throughout 2021 when you look on our weekly attendance of what God is doing. And I say all of that to say this. That is part of the reason why I believe in the church. Because the body of Christ doing things and advancing the kingdom of God. And so just with that, whether you know him or not, just give your neighbor a high five and say, be the church, continue to be the church, and let's get ready to roll. Amen? So let me talk to you why I believe in the church. We're wrapping up this series that we've been in over the last several weeks, or really the last month, I guess. This is week 4 of Church Hurt. How many are thankful that your body is able to heal and mend itself? Amen. I mean, the human body is absolutely astounding to me. I mean, more than half of your bones are located in your hands, feet, and ankle. Every second, your body produces 25 million new cells. In a 15-second period of time, you have produced more cells in your body than there is population in the United States of America. You are somebody, right? There are over 60,000 to 100,000 miles of blood vessels in the human body. Your brain, for some of you, this will be hard for you to hear and take because you don't see this, but your brain accounts for just 2% of your body mass, but uses 20% of your oxygen and blood supply. Pound for pound, your bones are stronger than steel. And I saw some of you guys walking in here today. You're like, yeah, I'm like Superman or whatever. Now you have a reason, right? Pound for pound, your bones are stronger than steel. Though many of you have had pain or have experienced pain in church settings, perhaps you will experience pain from the church in the future. Hopefully not, but when there's people involved and there's an enemy that's trying to bring destruction in life, it could happen. The body of Christ is amazing, just like your physical body. We all realize the potential and the possibility to be hurt or disappointed by the church. I serve on our district presbytery, and we had a meeting this past Monday and Tuesday, and as we sat there, we talked about some situations that are going on in different churches, and it's just like sometimes you hear those things and you get disappointed. We also talk about the celebrations and incredible things that God is doing across their district. Maybe this week you saw actions of people at a church, or you heard things that occurred even this past week that were disappointing and really embarrassing, to speak frankly, perhaps. I think about opportunities I missed even this last week with phone conversations that I had with people that weren't connected to our church, but opportunities to be the church with them. I think of conversations I had with family members who aren't following Jesus yet. And they unpack situations or scenarios to me, and I'm just like, well, let's have some awkward silence because I don't know how to respond to that right now. For 3 weeks in the series, we've talked about when you've been hurt by the church. We've talked about protecting your heart from hurt. We've talked about not being a hypocrite. And today I want to wrap it up and have a look at why I believe in the church. Brian Zahn, who's an author and pastor, said this: I believe in the church because Jesus does. Oh, yes, he does. Yes, he does. Jesus founded the church. He empowers the church and is returning for his church. The Apostle Creed, an early church document written by the early church followers to anchor the church in the roots of faith, proclaim this. Say it with me. I believe in God the Father. Say it with me. I believe in God the Father, Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Christ, Jesus Christ. Are you saying it with me? Because you're saying it really quiet. And we're having a hard time getting going in some areas this morning. So we're going to start over. Say it with me. It's up on the screen. There's a slide. Is that why you're not saying it? Yeah. Well, why didn't you tell me that? All right, we're going to start over. Man, aren't you glad for do-overs? Yeah. Me too. All right. I believe in God the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. On the third day, he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of the saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and life everlasting. Amen. Give yourself a hand. Some of you are like, I grew up in church, I should know this, and you just went blank when I was trying to ask you to do it without the words up there. I apologize for that. Now, all of us have had struggles getting started today. But one of the beauties of the creeds is that it calls us away from cultural Christianity to a convictional Christianity. When you read the word Holy Catholic Church up there, isn't referring to the Roman Catholic Church, but the capital C Church, the big church. Scripture refers to it as the body of Christ. Scripture refers to the church as the body of Christ. It's the Greek word ekklesia, the called out ones. It's the assembly, the gathering. So for us to be the church, it calls us to be together, to gather together of people called out of sin and called out of darkness. It's the saints, the bride of Christ. The creed speaks of Father, Son, Holy Spirit. The creed speaks of Jesus. And theologian and scholar J.I. Packard writes this: it is by strict theological logic that the creed confesses faith in the Holy Spirit before proceeding to the church, and that it speaks of the church before mentioning personal salvation, forgiveness, resurrection, everlasting life. For though the Father and Son have loved the church and the Son has redeemed it, it is the Holy Spirit who actually creates it by inducing faith, and it is the church through its ministry and fellowship that personal salvation ordinarily comes to be enjoyed. I believe in the church. In fact, Jesus said this in John chapter 16, verse 18, I will build my church. The key word there in the scripture is up on the screen. In Matthew 16, 18 is this: I. Jesus says, I will build my church. There's hope, there's purpose, and now is the time. Each generation of believer is given an opportunity to tell the story of Jesus through the local church. It's God's plan A. It's God's only plan. Regardless of her failings and regardless of the church's shortcomings, we get to put the brilliance of Jesus on display today. At creation, Genesis tells us that the Spirit hovered over the deep and life came forth. Well, the Spirit that is still breathing over his church, and life is coming forth even yet today. All the great revivals of history have taken place in the midst of challenging times. And that's one of the reasons right now I'm so excited of what is before us and the opportunity that is before us, us meaning LifePoint, but also us meaning the Church of Jesus Christ, because there's dark times happening. It's not new. Some of it's not uncommon, but in some ways it seems so new. But in the midst of that darkness, Jesus is doing something. In fact, John Tyson, who pastors up in New York City, says this: resurrection is found among the dead. And because of that, the church will live. And if your confidence and love for the church has waned for whatever reason, may it live again. Why do I believe in the church? In the words of one author, history shows that Jesus committed to his church. His commitment to the church is unshakable. Though we have profaned his name among the nations, he retains a passion for his people. We may be hypocrites. We may return to our vomit like dogs. We may embarrass him and distort his message, but the cross is a covenant Jesus takes seriously. For better or worse seems to mean something to the Son of God. Love isn't an idea for God. It's who he is. Scripture gives several metaphors for the church that shows us Jesus' vision for and commitment to the church. Even in this day, they hold true. End of quote. It was 30 years ago in a month that Robin and I got engaged. Man, things moved fast for us. We met in August at a camp and got engaged 8 weeks later. Got married 6 months later. When you know, you just go. Right? And in October of 91, we were living in Western Kansas. She was in Goodland. I was in Oakley. And we went out to just hang out with my parents in Fort Collins, and part of the agenda was to go ring shopping because things were moving so quick. We were like, let's just go together, and we both knew that we were going to get married, and so there wasn't a whole lot of surprise to that. We were just like, we got a timeline, man. We got to get things done. You need to put a rock on my hand. She didn't say that, but so we went, and we found our rings, and she was like, you know, I like that one, but that one will do. No, she, because that one was like big, and that's the one I wanted to get her. But I was like, we'll get you this one. And she's like, I love that one. It's so awesome. And she put it on, and she didn't give it back. She walked out of the store wearing their engagement ring, and I'm like, how do I do this now? You know, so we left Fort Collins. We were headed back to Goodland, and I was like, I gotta think of a way to like do this. And she has the ring now. And so as we were driving through Denver, I got this idea. And we were, at the time, Stapleton International was the big airport in Denver. DIA didn't exist, and so having grown up there, I knew back roads and whatnot. So I got this brilliant idea. And I got off the I-70 and wove my way on this road and because there's a road right at the end of a runway, right? And you're not supposed to stop there, but I did. And I stopped there. It's like getting later in the evening. The sun is setting. Just paint this picture in your mind, all right? The sun is setting in the west, orange and blue, orange and blue. And it's going down, and I pull off, and she's like, what are you doing? And I said, well, I got to take care of something. And then right at that time, I wish it would have been an F-14 because that would have been super cool, but it was like, you know, a 727 comes taking off right over the top of us, and the sun is setting in the west, and I'm like, Robin, and I think, I can't remember if we got out of the car or I just got down on, you know, on the floorboard or whatever, and said, Robin, will you marry me? Because you have the ring. You have to say yes. You know, the only thing that moment was missing was Highway to the Danger Zone playing in the background. right? And obviously, I'm so grateful she said yes. And Jesus has this love and this passion and this commitment to the church. People give up a lot when they fall in love. They give up schedules, they give up finances, they give up opportunity perhaps. And Jesus models that for us. So what I want to do, as I've already said, I want to talk to you about why I believe in the church. So the first reason why I believe in the church, in spite of pain and hurt, is this. The church is still the bride of Christ. Even though the church is flawed and broken, even though the actions of those within the church at times can be disappointing, Jesus is committed to his bride. Jesus still loves his church. In fact, you can go to Revelation chapter 1, verse 13, and chapter 2 and 3 in Revelations, and make it, it's really clear that nothing is more important to the Lord than the spiritual state of the local churches that bear his name. In fact, in Ephesians chapter 4, or chapter 5 rather, verse 25 up on the screen for you, husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her, that he might sanctify her, having cleansed her by the washing of the water with the word, so that he might present, so that he might present the church to himself in splendor without spot or wrinkle or any such thing, that she might be holy and without blemish. Jesus does not view the church simply through doctrinal, moral, or ethical, or sociological lenses. He views the church through a covenant perspective, a covenantal lens, if you will. Frank Viola said this, in Genesis 1 and 2, the Bible opens up with a woman and a man. In Revelations 21 and 22, which is the end of the Bible, the Bible closes with a woman and a man. The Bible opens up with a wedding and it ends with a wedding. It opens with a marriage and it ends with a marriage. Your Bible is essentially a love story. Jesus is not committed to the church because he has to be. He is committed to the church because he wants to be. God is in love with the church. Let me ask you, have you been discouraged by the church? Maybe that hurt, maybe that discouragement has been because you, at times you see the carelessness by which some seem to operate. Maybe it's the passivity or the apathy of some within the church, or maybe it's your passivity and your apathy that has blurred the image of the church. Will you do what Jesus does for his church? Will you stand? Will you stand for what Christ stands for? Will you pursue her as he is pursuing her? This picture of God's passion for the church provides incredible hope to me. Even with all its shortcomings, Jesus still extends his heart and his grace to us. Christ seeks us out, welcomes us home, washes off our sins, and showers us with his love. I can't think of a better illustration or a better example than Luke chapter 15 of that occurring. It's the story of the prodigal son. And it, just to jump in verse 20, after the prodigal son goes off and spends and blows his inheritance and is in disarray and in trouble and broken, he gets the idea to go back to his father in verse 20, and he arose and came to his father, but while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and felt compassion and ran and embraced him and kissed him. In this parable, the father represents God, right? And the son said to him, Father, I've sinned against heaven and before you. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. But the father said to his servants, bring quickly the best robe and put it on him and put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet and bring the fattened calf and kill it and let us eat and celebrate. For this son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. And they began to celebrate. As I was thinking about this passage of scripture this week and working on this message this week, I was nudged. I felt like I was nudged by the Spirit to encourage us to make sure we don't get the older son's heart, who came out and said this in verse 25. Now his older son was in the field. As he came and drew near to the house, he heard the music and dancing, and he called one of the servants and asked what these things meant. And he said to him, your brother has come, and your father has killed the fattened calf because he has received him back safe and sound. But he was angry and refused to go in. His father came out and entreated him, but he answered his father, look, these many years I've served you, I've never disobeyed your command, yet you never gave me a young goat that I might celebrate with my friends. That we would never have a heart that would, instead of gazing upon our Father, would start to gaze around upon others and be disappointed. Let's make sure we're seeing through God's eyes, through the eyes of Christ and his love for the church. Have you ever seen those couples that you thought, how in the world did he end up with her? Or maybe you thought this way, what in the world was she thinking to marry someone like that? Or, you know, maybe you've heard this expression, man, you really outkicked your coverage on that one. Meaning you really married up. How many of us in this room married up? You know, I know I'm like, I'll raise every limb in my body. Oh, hamstring. No, I'm just kidding. You know, but this idea, that's the church. Man, the church, like, we married up. When you think about God's grace and his love and his covenant and his ability to be steadfast and unchanging and unwavering, when you and I can be rather fickle sometimes. I haven't given up on the church because it's the bride of Christ. Secondly, the church is still the temple of God, the ecclesia, the assembly of people, the called out ones. You can't have church without his people, because the church is an assembly of people who are redeemed and restored into right relationship with God. It's an incongruency to say that I can have be a healthy Christian and be disconnected from the body. The theme of Scripture is communion and fellowship with God, and God's presence among his people has always been his heart. God's vision was not a building to belong in, but a people to walk among. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, Paul writes this in verse 16, do you not know that you are God's temple and that God's Spirit dwells in you? If anyone destroys God's temple, God will destroy him, for God's temple is holy and you are that temple. You may not feel very good about yourself, but God says, man, I feel good enough about you that you're my temple. I want to dwell with you. I want to dwell in you. Because of Christ's pursuit and devotion to us, we become that temple. The incarnation meant God with us, but the coming of the Spirit means God in us. And through the death of Jesus on the cross, we have become the place where God dwells. The church is the temple of God, the embodying presence of God on the earth. And I think that I was just thinking about a lot of different things just to try to illustrate this past week. And this song came to my mind, and I looked up the lyrics. But have you ever heard George Strait's song, I Saw God Today? You know, that song came to mind, and I was like, man, that song needs to have another verse in it that said, I saw God today because I saw the church living out its mission. I saw God today because I saw the hands and the body of Jesus engaging culture and standing for righteousness and being a fragrance and bringing forth healing in the world that it's in. I saw God today. Why do I believe in the church? Number three, the church is still the body of Christ. Do you ever just wish that Jesus would have stayed present and not ascended in Acts chapter 1? Right? I mean, you could like go to Israel and go to Jerusalem right now and have a one-on-one with Jesus. I mean, I think that'd be pretty awesome. I would sign up for that. I'd make that trip. And you think about that, but if he would have stayed and not returned to the Father, I mean, all of our theological questions would have been answered, right? hey, Jesus, did the church replace Israel or not? Because that's a theological question in some places. Is the sin nature inherited or is it embraced? All those questions could have been answered. Jesus, do cats go to heaven? All of them would have been answered. Why did Jesus depart? He answers that question in John chapter 16, verse 7. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is to your advantage that I go away, for if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you, but if I go, I will send him to you. Jesus wants partnership and empowerment. C.S. Lewis wrote this: God seems to do nothing of himself which he can possibly delegate to his creatures. He commands us to do slowly and blunderingly what he could do perfectly and in a twinkling of an eye. How many have found that to be true? I love that. God is amazing and extends this incredible invitation to you and I to be part of the body that is working and impacting community around us. Let me just say this. Jesus feels the pain of his body. Steve, how can you say that? Well, in Acts chapter 9, Scripture recounts for us the conversion of the Apostle Paul, who in that portion of Scripture, his name is Saul, and God gives him a name change and totally alters the course and the direction of his life. But the encounter begins with these words: Paul, Paul, or why are you persecuting me? Jesus feels the pain of his body. Paul is converted, becomes this incredible missionary, this incredible apostle for the church that you and I, we've even referenced some of his writings this morning. But the Apostle Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 27, now you are the body of Christ and individually members of it. God is looking for a church. God is looking for people who want to be filled with his presence and live for his purposes in the world. That his kingdom and his plans become first and foremost priority in our life. He wants a surrendered body that moves in the power and functions in the anointing of his Holy Spirit to go and be light in the world. And he equips us, and he calls us, and he empowers us, and he shakes us, and he wakes us at times, and that sometimes he has to spank us because we're being wrong. So let me just put something on your calendar, because that's a big call. That's a big objective that he gives the church to do. And we know that just a few can't do it. It takes the body of Christ. We know that you can't do church today like you did church in 20 or in 1950. It's just different. Scripture, the message stays the same, but the method may change. So what do we do? What do we do to become a church that is empowered and is sensitive to the Spirit? One of the things I want to invite you to put on your calendar every year over the last, I was trying to think, 5 or 6 years, we've done a 21-day fast, a Daniel fast, there at the beginning of the year. We do the 21-day Daniel fast, and then we've opened it up, you know, the beginning of it, we take 4 or 5 days and open up the church and have evenings of prayer and stuff. And this year we're going to do it different. From January 9th through the 29th will be the dates, but we're turning it up a little bit, because how many know sometimes you just have to turn it up? That was an incredible opportunity to say amen. So we're going to turn it up a little bit this fast. In fact, we're going to do another 21-day fast in August, because we can't do what we've always done. We have to turn it up. We have to step out in ways that maybe we've not stepped out before. And so during these 21-day fasts, we're going to be opening up the church. We haven't set the time, but we're going to be opening up the church early in the morning for a time of worship and prayer, and then we're going to open up the church the same day in the evening. because there's something about the body of Christ coming together collectively and praying. You can pray at home, that's okay, and I encourage you to do so. In fact, you need to. But there's something about the body of Christ coming together and praying together. Lifting up our voices together. Being in the presence of God together. Calling out in faith and believing together. Amen? Oh, but it's so early in the morning, so late at night. Look, God will help you. God will stretch you, and you'll go, oh man, I didn't know I had that capacity. And God will say, that's because you've never stretched before. So let's stretch. Let's enlarge that possibility. Jim Cymbala said this, every time people really pray, they are believing that God, by his divine power, can change what is into something better. Man, I rejoice over what God has done. I rejoice over the things that we shared as we opened up today. But I know there's so much more. I know that there's more people for us to reach in this community. I know that you're going to have opportunities to minister to people in 2022 that you didn't have opportunities to minister in 2021. And we need the anointing in the presence of Jesus to be sensitive to his leadings and to his promptings. And so we're going to step deeper. You with me? Some of you are like, I'm still waking up from this morning, man. Let's wrap this up. Let me give you some takeaways. If an imperfect church was and is good enough for Jesus, it's good enough for me. If we ever get to the point that says, you know, I don't need to go to church. I don't want to be a part of, look at that. If we ever get there and use that for an excuse, you know what we're doing? We're exalting ourselves and our opinion above what Jesus thinks about his church. And last I checked, none of us are Jesus in this room. Secondly, another take home is the goal outweighs the grief. If we took time this morning, I'm sure we could pass mics and learn of disappointments and hurts that we've all had. But you're not alone. And not to minimize any of that grief, and not to minimize any of that hurt, Jesus was betrayed by Judas. He was denied by Peter. The disciples slept while he prayed. He was disappointed. He was hurt. But he continued with his mission. The goal outweighed the grief. I mean, you think about being betrayed by Judas, the one who was the treasurer of Jesus' movement, and that betrayal and that hurt and that angst. But it didn't derail Jesus' vision. In fact, in Matthew 28, verse 16, we read, now the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain to which Jesus had directed them, and when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and said to them, all authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Teach them to observe all that I've commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age, because, and these are my words, because I love the church. Why build the church? Why be the church? Simply because people are still lost, and people are hurting, and the goal outweighs the grief. Paul experienced hurt, but he kept his perspective. Philippians chapter 3, I won't take time to read it, but you see it there. And then finally, last takeaway, choose to be part of the solution, not part of the problem. Matthew 16, 18, and I tell you, you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. I love that. Choose to be part of the solution, not part of the problem. Let me just drop a little bit of wisdom and help you when people would want to disregard or derail or devalue the church or complain about the church. Just look at them and say, well, what are you going to do about that? Be part of the solution and not part of the problem, because if someone is just nitpicking all the time, then what are they being? They're being part of the problem. Be part of the solution. And if someone is doing that, then you have every right to shut them down, and you need to, if they're not going to be part of the solution. You may say, well, Steve, I'm not known. I'm not deep in my understanding of Scripture. I'm new in my faith, whatever it may be. But God takes the unknowns and he uses them to build his kingdom, to advance his church. In Acts chapter 11, the church was birthed because of some unknown men from Cyrus and Cyrene said, here am I. In Acts chapter 11, verse 21, this is what's said of them. The Lord's hand was with them. May it be said of you and us and me that the Lord's hand was with them. And if the Lord's hand is with us, church, there is nothing that we can't do. Amen? There's nothing too great, there's nothing too small, there is nothing too dangerous. There's nothing. Jesus will express himself through us. In fact, in China, the church has grown to over 100 million while facing communist opposition. In Central America, the Pentecostal church is living in a staggering revival. And in Africa, the church has grown at a breathtaking rate in the last 100 years. That is just like absolutely amazing. And I believe even in the West right now, there is a stirring, there is a longing, there is a hunger and an urgency that says, you know what, all the goodness of a material world that we possess, man, it doesn't feed my soul. There's something more. There's something greater. There's a purpose greater than 79.5 years on this earth, though I'm thankful for it, and I'm thankful I get to live in America, but man, if this is it, then I'm selling myself short. There is something more. It's this church. And if I can help people come to know him and to encounter him and to experience him, then that's what I want to do. The worship team would come. If you'd bow your heads with me. Father God, I thank you this morning for your church. I thank you for the hope of the church. God, I thank you, Jesus, for believing in the church when we don't believe in ourselves. I thank you for not giving up on the church, even at times when maybe some of us have felt like giving up on the church. Lord, may we have your heart. May we have your resolve. May we have your perspective concerning the church. And God, for anyone in the room this morning that's been a little bit discouraged at the state of the church, or a little bit dismayed at things that they've seen in the church, or a little bit frustrated because of the apathy that they've maybe feel towards that some are displaying in the church, God, I pray all of that would be pushed away, and Lord, that we would gaze upon you, the one who gave himself for the church, and function and think and see appropriately. I know we didn't talk about salvation and the free gift of eternal life that we receive through Jesus Christ, that Christ makes available to every one of us in this room, to everyone watching online. But if you're here this morning, and as you've sat through this service and maybe as you've pondered things this past week, you're like, you know what? There has to be something more. That was my story. That was my where I was 30-some years ago, living life for myself. Thank you, man. For me to have more fun, I have to outdo what I just did last night. And there was this empty, nagging hole within me. And maybe you're here this morning, you're going, man, that is me. That's right where I'm at. And Jesus grabbed a hold of my life, and he reconciled. He changed my life. He gave me hope and purpose and love and forgiveness, not on the merit of what I did, but on the merit of who he is. And you're here this morning, and you're like, Steve, I want to know that love. I want to know that forgiveness. I want to know that purpose. I want to know Jesus in his fullness. See, it's about knowing Jesus. It's not about the church. It's about Jesus. Because Jesus is the one who changes lives and changes hearts and changes eternity. Eternity's address for you and I. And you're here and you're like, man, Steve, I need to take that step. I need to receive Christ as my Lord and Savior today, and there's no better day than today to begin that. If you're here and that's your cry of your heart, would you just slip up your hand? I want to pray for you right where you're at. Anyone at all? If you're watching online, maybe just wave there in the chat bar on that. God, I pray for your church. God, I pray that Life Point and the other eight churches in our community, God, would truly be a hospital for the hurting, for the lost. God, I pray that the message of salvation would be so irresistible to those that are far from you, Lord, that they would just begin to come to you in droves. Lord, here at Life Point, that we would be ready for that, that we would be anticipating that, that we would be doing everything possible that we can do to help foster that environment, from praying to bringing to investing in people, walking with them. For the other churches in our community, Lord, that your presence be thick, that the gospel message be strong. And Lord, we celebrate with people coming to know you and surrendering their life and allowing you to be their Lord and Savior. Thank you for that, God. Maybe you're here this morning and you're a follower of Jesus, and your prayer would be this. Man, I want a love for the church like Jesus loves the church. To see the church as Jesus sees the church. If you're here and if that's your request, maybe that you would just slip up your hand. God, I want to see the church like you see it. I want to respond to it like you respond to it. I want to love it like you love it and gave yourself for it. And then finally, Lord, just a willingness to work and to pray for revival, and to pray for resolutions, and to pray that you would sit enthroned upon the praises of your people like you've never done before here on the corner of Clay Street and Abilene. Lord, that your presence would just become so thick, so tangible. God, that our hearts would be so broken before you. And God, that Lord, where we see compromise in our own lives, where we've seen, Lord, us not responding maybe to church or to people in ways that you would, that would bring you honor. Holy Spirit, quicken us, convict us, set your hand upon us, nudge us, Lord, to be the body that you want us to be. God, I thank you that we've been able to walk through this series, not because there's issues, but Lord, as we said all along, we believe in preventative preaching. And God, we just want to be a church that is full of vitality, full of life, full of your presence, full of resurrection power. And God, that people would know you, that we would know you and love what you love the way that you love it. In Jesus' name. Church, would you stand with me? Let's sing this song, just a love song to Jesus, just abandoning ourselves to him and exalting him, for he is worthy. Let's worship him. God, we thank you that we're not a part of something that is man's idea, but the church is your idea. The church is your plan. God, the church is your bride. And so, Lord, we just want to present ourselves to you as holy and acceptable offerings of sacrifice and worship to you. God, we fully realize not everything we do is going to be perfect, but God, may everything we do be worship unto you, because you are deserving of all of our worship. And God, pray just for a special anointing in the coming days and coming months and years over this body of believers. God, may we walk in step with your Spirit, encountering and experiencing a richer communion than we've ever known before. And God, seeing your kingdom forcefully advance and bringing forth resurrection power into the hearts, into the lives of individuals we come into contact with. God, we don't want people to think like us. We want people to think like Jesus. God, we want to act like you. We want to represent you well in every corridor, in every part of our life. And God, we want to, as Paul said, we want to continually work out our salvation with fear and trembling, knowing, God, that you're not done with us yet. God, there's things that need to be refined within us. There's changes that need to be made within us. And God, we need to taste and see and yield ourselves to you in greater ways and be vessels that are fully surrendered to you in ways that we've not yet done or had opportunity to. But Lord, that's what is going to need to happen in the coming days. And so, Lord, may we avail ourselves to say, here am I, as Isaiah said, send me. Thank you for that, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.
This concludes the teaching. Thank you for listening, and we hope you can join us for next Sunday's service with Pastor Steve Raines.